turns out, it isn't that big a deal. But it sure was a big disappointment at the time as a kid to realize that everybody else was growing and I was staying pretty much the same.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
God is good, and all the time. I am 5'8" tall. I checked. I'm still 59 years of age, 5'8" tall. I have not yet begun to shrink. When you're only 5'8", you don't much look forward to age-related shrinking. I'm sure that it will come. I was in close competition with my cousin, John Rosenbaum, for the title, Shortest Boy in the Senior Class. You know, that odd list of things that goes in the yearbook and the school paper and all of that. It was so close that they stood us back to back and balanced a wooden chessboard across our heads and put a marble in the middle. And gravity decreed that I was outshorted. To this day, I contend that John slouched a little. If you're going to be short, at least ought to get some recognition for it. When I was 12 years old, and I was playing the sousaphone for the Eminence High School marching band, and it must be noted that the Eminence school system is considerably smaller than the East Canton school system, and I was in the high school band from the time that I was in sixth grade. When I was 12 and playing the sousaphone for the marching band, I was 5'3". And an enterprising photographer for the Martinsville Reporter, our home county newspaper — it didn't have a hometown newspaper, Eminence didn't have one, but it had a home county newspaper — thought that it was worth taking my picture because there was this little kid marching around the court at the halftime show with this great big instrument, the bottom coil of which was so close to the floor you could not have inserted a full 12-inch ruler between the floor and the bottom of the sousaphone. It was the first time I had ever been in the newspaper, which, come to think of it, kind of beats out the school yearbook. So take that, slouchy John! When I was even younger, when I was a real little child, I did not realize that I was a shrimp. All the other kids were little too. We were all little kids. Sometimes visiting relatives from Kentucky or other people who had not seen me for a while would be there, and they would do that thing where they look you over and they say, "My, how you have grown. You're just shooting up there." And sometimes one of my great uncles or third cousins or whomever would say, "Oh, you keep growing like that, you'll be playing professional basketball one of these days." And that was fine with me. I thought a career in the NBA sounded like a great future. I had not yet really paid attention to the fact that both my parents and all my grandparents were well under 6 feet. And the genetic probabilities against my being accepted by the Pacers, or even, as it turned out, the Eminence Eels, were stacked pretty high. I remember the day of my first real realization. My family had been friends with the Littells for as long as I could remember. Charles Littell was the preacher at the Eminence Christian Church in the days of my youngest youth. And Charles and Florence had three boys: Matthew, who was a few years older than I was, and Steve and Tim, twins, exactly my age. And Steve and Tim and I were little runt kids together in the church, causing trouble in the nursery and then the younger Sunday school classes and running wild and crazy about the churchyard after services until our parents called us to the car and made us leave. And occasionally we would go out, my family, to the Littell's place in the summertime for a barbecue. And as soon as we had eaten, Steve and Tim and I would retreat to their upstairs bedroom for unsanctioned pillow fights and other activities that we would keep up until we were made to quit. We just had a high old time, Tim and Steve and I. And then one day, Charles and Florence decided that they were going to go into the mission field. And Charles resigned as the minister of the Eminence Christian Church, and they spent, I have to look back and try to calculate this because I didn't keep very close tabs on time at that stage of my life, but I think they spent about a year and a half traveling around, speaking, raising funds, making preparations to go to the Philippines. And finally, all was done, and they were ready to go to the Philippines. And they went, and Charles headed up a mission called Ambassadors for Christ, and Florence worked closely with FAME, the emergency medical people, and they had a great ministry. And on the weekend that they were ready to go, they came back to the Eminence Christian Church for a big party and send-off with a fellowship meal after services and all that. And on that day, I got out of the car, my parents' car, in the church parking lot, and there were these two big lumbering goons whose shoulders I barely came up to, passing a football over in the churchyard. It was Tim and Steve. And in that year and a half, they had shot up in a big growth spurt. And I had stayed just the same. It was just before school started. And when I got back to school, I found out that almost all the other boys in my class, barring John and myself, had undergone the same kind of growth spurt. And I began to realize and prepare myself for a life of shrimpdom. As it turns out, it isn't that big a deal. But it sure was a big disappointment at the time as a kid to realize that everybody else was growing and I was staying pretty much the same. Now, hang on to that for a little bit. It is Thanksgiving time. We're going to give you the same opportunity that I gave the kids. I bet we all have a big long list of things for which we ought to be thankful. Amen? As I do each Thanksgiving season, if there is anybody who would just like to share briefly right from where you are, shout it out, something for which you are thankful. Just go ahead, fire away. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. Amen. Family. Family. Amen. Your friends who help you out with a ride to church, Dick and Ann Sutton. Amen. Health. Praise God. Grandchildren. Yeah, most days. Job and ability to earn a living. To be living in the United States. Love. Thankful for that. Praise God. Nancy, did I see your hand? Nope. Okay. You were scratching your head. Thankful for the fingernails that alleviate the itch. Okay. Thankful for God's grace. Amen.
I'm still thankful that God created a new heart in me to love God, country,
fellow man. New heart. Retirement. Because now you don't do anything, right? Thankful for Jesus Christ. For friends. For this congregation. Well, thank you very much. I won't smart off about that one. Thank you, Rick. Yes. Talents and abilities that God gives us. Three.
Good family.
There you go. Three, two, one, last chance. For God's grace to Annika, amen. And time's up. But that's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? In this congregation. And in what I'm going to say, you know, I'm not meaning to reduce any of that. Family and friends and health and praise and worship and love and the congregation itself and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Ah, boy, I'm thankful for all that. And I'm more than just thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ. But even there, I think there's more to it than we sometimes realized. God did not save us so that we could continue just the same as we are, only thankful for salvation. We did not receive the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we could continue just as we are, only carrying a new leather-bound book around with us. We are meant to grow. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think that we neglect the whole concept of growth, and at this time of year, perhaps we neglect the idea. It was touched upon briefly in the list that you all gave me here. But sometimes we neglect the concept of being thankful for the growth that has occurred. And there is numerical growth in this congregation. It's slow and steady. It's not big, but it's there. The average attendance for the year of 2015 was 185. The average attendance for this year, right up to last Sunday, is 191. It's, you know, a little over 3%. I'd like to see more, but I am so thankful that the congregation is expanding rather than contracting. I thank God for that, but that's not really what I'm talking about. Many places in the New Testament, it speaks about numerical growth and what causes that. But the growth that Paul was speaking of in the passage that Caleb read for us today, when Paul was so thankful for the growth that had occurred in the Colossian congregation, was spiritual growth. And I believe that I have seen that also here in the Indian Run Christian Church congregation. I believe that we have made steps that allow us to focus less on congregation and more on church, and less on church and more on kingdom. And I believe that's moving in the right direction. We all recognize that the church provides a lot of benefits for us. But at some point we need to recognize that it's really all about Jesus Christ. And we have a joyful obligation to glorify Him and to grow into His image. But let's get there by steps. Paul told the Colossian Christians, he gave thanks to God the Father on account of their growth. And I will skip over some things in the reading here to focus on others. He said that the gospel was bearing fruit and increasing in them. He said this process of growth started on the very day they first heard the gospel, and it continued to expand as they came to understand the grace of God in truth. That is to say, they grasped the implications of their salvation, of their having come to Jesus Christ. Paul prayed that such growth would continue in the Colossian congregation, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God, bursting with spiritual wisdom and understanding, able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing God in all respects, always bearing fruit, always doing good works, always increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, it seems to me that that is quite a statement. To be able to live in a manner worthy of the Lord, always bearing fruit, always doing good works, always increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of us would just like to have our own lives characterized and summarized like that? That we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that we continually abound in good works and bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. I wouldn't mind that carved on my tombstone, allowing that it were true. It is a lofty goal. And Paul realized it. He thanks God for the spiritual growth among the Colossian Christians, and then he puts this out there in front of them, much more growth to go. If we are ever going to get to the point where it can even begin to be said that we are living a life worthy of the Lord, are we not going to have to grow some? I mean, if it can ever approach the point where it says that we are always bearing fruit, always doing good works, always increasing in the knowledge of God, are we not going to have to grow some spiritually? Oh, great God, pour on the fertilizer and send the people into my lives who will do the necessary cultivating and irrigating that I may so grow. But again, a step at a time. Are we growing at all to begin with? Paul said, growth started for the Colossians on the day they first received the gospel and continued as they grasped its implications. Let me tell you something that I regard as a weakness that is fairly central to the American character. And is even worse when it crosses the boundary from culture and comes into the church. It is a worse weakness in the framework of American Christianity. In the American mindset, we tend to think of having arrived. I mean, we're there. We're okay. We made it. We did it. We're good to go. God save us from such complacency. If we're not growing, we're dying. Or as I have often heard Russell Thorne phrase it, if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rotting. And those are the choices. I do believe this to be a generalized American weakness, but it is, as I said, especially bad in the framework of Christianity to ever have this feeling. You know, I have done it. I have identified with Jesus Christ. I have sided with God on the matter of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. Check that one off my list. It doesn't work that way. If we accept Jesus Christ at all, it is a new beginning, not an accomplished fact. Receiving the gospel at all is to step over the edge into the realm of a transformation that will continue in us forever. We have not arrived. I don't think we ever will arrive, but at the very least, we haven't done it yet. Paul, who I am going to assume was a little further along the line of spiritual growth than this congregation which he helped to found and build when he was already fairly far along the line of spiritual growth, Paul said of himself, In the book of Philippians, which is later, he said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Philippians is one of the last books Paul wrote. So I want to ask you something. If the guy who wrote about half the New Testament, if the guy who originally put the legwork in to found all the congregations that blessed your ancestors, the Gentiles as a people, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that guy, right toward the end of his life, said, "It's not like I've made it, I haven't, I have not attained it yet." If he hadn't attained it yet, what do you think are the odds that we have? We're not there. We need to do a lot more forgetting what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead. We need to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So I want to say two things. First, I want to mirror Paul. I want to be thankful to God for the spiritual growth that I have seen in this congregation in this year, which is almost over. And I'll explain a little bit what I mean. I'll just pick three things. These perhaps do not entirely describe the spiritual growth of the congregation, but these are some things that I have seen. I believe that it is spiritual growth that has allowed us to accomplish our goals each year, though they get larger each year, and to increasingly accomplish them joyfully. I believe that we begin to realize that such things as we do are done to glorify Jesus Christ. And they are done before the eyes of a community that lives in the darkness of sin and needs desperately to see the glory of Jesus Christ. I believe this is growth, and I thank God for this. Second, I believe it is spiritual growth that allows us to handle moments of friction and disagreement that we experience. And we have experienced some in this past year. We have experienced, as a congregation, moments of friction and disagreement. We will continue to, because we have not arrived yet. Let me tell you something. While there were such moments in the past year, probably most of them aren't known to everybody here. And a few of them will be known only to a few of the people here. And do you know why that is? Because they were handled quietly in a biblical fashion, within the dictates of the brotherly love of Jesus Christ. And so they did not blow up and disrupt the unity of the congregation. We cannot say that we have always been that way. There were times when our frictions and disagreement did go viral and spread damage everywhere. I have not seen that in this past year. And I believe that is spiritual growth. And I thank God for it. I believe that it is spiritual growth that has led us to draw a sharper line of demarcation between the world and the church. Part of that is just a response to the way we have seen the world changing around us. But it is a response that leads us in the right direction as we become more and more what the New Testament means when it talks about aliens, pilgrims, strangers, wandering through and working in this environment but not really belonging here. As we grow more and more into the Spirit of God, we will become less and less attuned and comfortable with the spirit of the world. Did you not know? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. I see this happening in this congregation. I believe it is growth. And I thank God for it. And there is more that I could mention, but I don't want to give you all the big head. So I will stop there and say that we haven't arrived yet. And move on to the second thing, in which I will also mirror Paul. I will pray that growth continues. We worked on these at the leadership retreat, and just shortly, not today, but coming up soon, I will announce the new and expanded goals for 2017, because while we have grown in doing good works, you know what we need to do? We need to grow some more in doing good works. I will hope and pray that in this year to come, we will have fewer moments of friction and disagreement, but I will pray that whenever they do arise, and I know that they will, that we will continue to handle them in a way that does not allow them to blow up and break the unity of the people of God, because we need to continue to grow. I will pray that we become more and more in sync with the Spirit of God, less and less in sync with the spirit of the age, because we need to continue to grow. I got used to being 5'8" a long time ago, but we must never be okay with our current state of spiritual maturity. We must never reach that place in our heads where we think, I have obtained, I've made it, I got it, I'm there, I can coast from here. Never. For how long shall we continue to do good works? Well, the first and easiest answer is as long as we can still breathe, I suppose. But I want to tell you something even better. I believe that the world to come will abound in opportunities to do good works, but the good works will be unhampered by the limitations and the complications that come with sin. Imagine that, being able to work for the glory of God without the limitations and complications of sin. But I believe that's where we're headed. I believe we will be doing good works a billion years hence in the kingdom of God. For how long shall we increase in the knowledge of God? Same answer. How many of you believe that God is big? How many of you believe that God is infinitely glorious? Eternity will not be too long to grow in the understanding of our great God and His glory. How many of you believe that we will be more unified in the world to come than we are here? Because growth will continue. I thank God for the spiritual growth we have experienced. I thank God for the eons and eras of such growth that lie ahead of us. And I pray God that He guides us in the shorter term through more growth in 2017, so that it may begin to be said that we live lives worthy of the Lord, always bearing fruit, always doing good works, always increasing in the knowledge of God. When you sit down to your Thanksgiving dinner this year, and in whatever way your family is used to doing this, you offer up your thanks to God. If you can look back over the last year and say, I have grown spiritually. Praise God. Thank Him for that growth and ask for more, because He will give it to you. If, on the other hand, you look back over this past year and you think, you know, I'm pretty much the same as I was 12 months ago, if you ask God for wisdom, He will deal it out with both hands. If you ask God to help you grow, He will help you grow. And maybe we even look back over our whole lives. And we have to acknowledge, whatever this wonderful thing that the gospel does to people is, whatever it is, that makes them just abound in good works and the knowledge of God, bearing fruit here and bearing fruit there, whatever it is, it doesn't seem to have happened to me yet. If we find ourselves making such an honest confession, there are things that can be done about that too. God wants you to grow. He waits only for you to submit to the process. And if you haven't done it yet, you can do it now.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.